The light of God shines in the darkness, and the darkness will never overcome it. Good morning. My name is Avril, and I welcome all of you who are listening to this service. I hope that you and your families are all well, and that you will find this service a comfort in this time of lockdown. I imagine that many of you, like me, have been watching the news from the USA with sadness and horror. Today, as we gather together to worship the God who created us all, black and white, who as a man was born into a land under occupation and was murdered by the state, whose spirit inspired and continues to inspire all those who work for justice, let us hold our brothers and sisters in America and the first peoples of this land in our hearts and our prayers. As we gather, we affirm the diversity of our community, represented in age, gender, sexuality, culture, and ability. We affirm that all people are welcome and trust that you will find this to be a safe place for you to grow in God's love and the experience of a warm community. We are committed to loving God, growing together, partnering community, and sharing faith. We remember the original custodians of this land, the Wadawurrung, and ask for God's grace to join with them in being good stewards of this land, its waters, and diverse communities. The work of the Creator is visible. We respond with praise. The example of Jesus is clear. We respond with obedience. The wind of the Spirit blows. We respond with joy. The Word of God calls us. We worship in spirit and in truth.
You never fail.
watching the news from the USA to deny the racism that exists here in Australia. So today I have chosen to use the prayer of confession from the Assembly's Day of Mourning liturgy. Let us bring our confession to God. Let us pray. Merciful God, we, the second peoples of this land, acknowledge and lament the injustice and abuse that has so often marked the treatment of the first people of this land. We acknowledge and lament the way in which their land was taken from them, and their language, culture, law, and spirituality despised and suppressed. We acknowledge and lament the way in which the Christian church was often not only complicit, but actively involved in this process. We acknowledge and lament that in our own time, the injustice and abuse has continued. We have been indifferent when we should have been outraged. We have been apathetic when we should have been active. We have been silent when we should have spoken out. Liberating Jesus, hear our lament, and by your Spirit bring healing, hope, and transformation to the lives of our First Nations sisters and brothers and their communities. By your Spirit, transform our minds and hearts so that we may love as you have loved us. Boldly speak your truth and courageously do your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This is best of all. When we are empty, God fills us. When we are disheartened, God is compassionate. When we are wounded, God brings healing. When we confess our sin, God forgives. In Christ, through Christ, and because of Christ, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The two Bible readings today come from the very ending of two books, and the first is from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 to 13. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. And the second reading comes from the very end of the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Because of what is happening in the United States at the moment, the book I've chosen comes from America. It's called The Other Side, and it's written by Jacqueline Woodson and illustrated by E.B. Lewis. That summer, the fence that stretched through our town seemed bigger. We lived in a yellow house on one side of it. White people lived on the other. And Mama said, "Don't climb over that fence when you play." She said it wasn't safe. That summer, there was a girl who wore a pink sweater. Every morning, she climbed up on the fence and stared over at our side. Sometimes I stared back. She never sat on that fence with anybody. That girl didn't. Once, when we were jumping rope, she asked if she could play. And my friend Sandra said no, without even asking the rest of us. I don't know what I would have said. Maybe yes, maybe no. That summer evening, everyone and everything on the other side of the fence seemed far away. When I asked my mama why, she said, "Because that's the way things have always been." Sometimes when we and mama went into town, I saw that girl with her mama. She looked sad sometimes, that girl did. "Don't stare," my mama said. "It's not polite." It rained a lot that summer. On rainy days, that girl sat on the fence in a raincoat. She let herself get all wet and acted like she didn't even care. Sometimes I saw her dancing around in puddles, splashing and laughing. Mama wouldn't let me go out in the rain. "That's why I bought you rainy day toys," my mama said. "You stay inside here, where it's warm and safe and dry." But every time it rained, I looked for that girl. And I always found her, somewhere near the fence. Someplace in the middle of the summer, the rain stopped. When I walked outside, the grass was damp and the sun was already high up in the sky. And I stood there with my hands up in the air. I felt brave that day. I felt free. I got close to the fence and that girl asked me my name. "Clover," I said. "My name's Annie," she said. "Annie Paul." "I live over yonder," she said, "by where you see the laundry. That's my blouse hanging on the line." She smiled then. She had a pretty smile. And then I smiled. And we stood there looking at each other, smiling. "It's nice up on this fence," Annie said. "You can see all over." I ran my hand along the fence. I reached up and touched the top of it. "A fence like this was made for sitting on," Annie said. She looked at me sideways. "My mama says I shouldn't go on the other side," I said. "My mama says the same thing, but she never said nothing about sitting on it." "Neither did mine," I said. That summer, me and Annie sat together on that fence. And when Sandra and them looked at me funny, I just made believe I didn't care. Some mornings my mama watched us. I waited for her to tell me to get down from that fence before I broke my neck or something. But she never did. "I see you made a new friend," she said one morning. I nodded and mama smiled. That summer, me and Annie sat on that fence and watched the whole wide world around us. One day, Sandra and them were jumping rope near the fence and we asked if we could play. "I don't care," Sandra said. And when we jumped, Sandra and me were partners, the way we used to be. When we were too tired to jump anymore, we sat up on the fence, all of us in a long line. "Someday somebody's going to come along and knock this old fence down," Annie said. And I nodded. "Yeah," I said. "Someday." The end.
Child of God, whose faith was deep and love was broad, not doubtful, guilty, worn, nor flawed, I gladly followed Jesus. But I'm the child of what I've been, estranged by much I've done and seen, afraid to show the love I mean, unfit to follow Jesus. Yet God, who knows me first and last, who's seen my best, my worst, my past, has shown his love intense and vast by meeting me in Jesus. For Christ, though killed at Calvary, by sins like mine and folk like me, has risen, forgiven, and set me free, made fit to follow Jesus. Then sprinkle water on my brow, as in this place I make my vow, to own and love my Saviour now, and give myself to Jesus. God grant me what I still require, that I in others might inspire the hidden hope, the deep desire to love and follow Jesus. God grant me what I still require, that I in others might inspire the hidden hope, the deep desire to love and follow Jesus.
Today is Trinity Sunday, and I want to begin this reflection by saying that there is no way to describe the Trinity that isn't a heresy. We have tiny little human brains, and we cannot describe the immense transcendent God with our little brains. There is no way we can explain God. And yet, we still celebrate Trinity Sunday. So today I want to tell you why the doctrine of the Trinity is one of my favourite things about Christianity. To begin with, the doctrine tells us that God in God's very self is a community. God in God's very being is a community of love. And we, since we are made in the image of God, are also made to exist in that community. We who are male and female are created as God. Male and female, God created them, as Genesis says. The doctrine of the Trinity also tells us that in the human person Jesus, we see God. And so when we see Jesus welcoming children and women and Gentiles and the poor, what we are seeing is God's welcome for everyone. And the doctrine of the Trinity also illuminates how it is that the Holy Spirit, God within us and among us, is the very same God who created the entire cosmos. And this is why in the Spirit we say that God is with us even after Jesus has ascended. But the reason I want to focus on the Trinity today is because it's the doctrine of the Trinity that makes sense of the cross and explains why it is that we proclaim Christ crucified. One of my favourite authors is Dorothy L. Sayers, who wrote in the first half of last century, and she's most famous as the writer of Mysteries, starring Lord Peter Wimsey. But she was also a very intelligent Anglican laywoman, and she did her best to put theology into the language of ordinary people. And what happened when she started writing theological plays and essays was that people started writing her letters because they were absolutely astounded at what it was that she said. And they were sure that she was making it all up because what she was describing wasn't Christianity as they knew it. And so one of her responses was to write a satire that she called A Short Examination Paper on Christianity. And I love it. So I'm going to read it to you today. Question: What does the church think of God the Father? Answer: He is omnipotent and holy. He created the world and imposed on man conditions impossible of fulfillment. He is angry if these are not carried out. He sometimes interferes by means of arbitrary judgments and miracles distributed with a great deal of favouritism. He likes to be truckled to and is always ready to pounce on anybody who trips up on a difficulty over the law or is having a bit of fun. He's rather like a dictator, only larger and more arbitrary. Question: What does the church think of God the Son? Answer: He is in some way to be identified with Jesus of Nazareth. It's not his fault that the world was made like this, and unlike God the Father, he is friendly to man and did his best to reconcile man to God, see atonement. He has a great deal of influence with God, and if you want anything done, it is best to apply to him. Question: What does the church think of God the Holy Spirit? Answer: I don't know exactly. He was never seen or heard of till Pentecost. Question: What is meant by the atonement? Answer: God wanted to damn everybody, but his vindictive sadism was sated by the crucifixion of his own son, who was quite innocent and therefore a particularly attractive victim. He now only damns people who don't follow Christ or have never heard of him. So that's what happens if we forget or ignore or dismiss the Trinity. We end up with an angry, vindictive God who was determined to punish us for our sins, but was satisfied when his son took the punishment on our behalf. And it's absolutely horrible. No wonder people turn away from Christianity if they think that's what we're preaching. That's not at all what we're saying with our emphasis on the cross and on Christ crucified. Yes, Jesus died as a blasphemer and a political rebel, abandoned and rejected by the God he knew as Father. But what the doctrine of the Trinity says is that the Son, God incarnate in Jesus, is God. So that suffering on the cross was God's suffering, and it was God who was abandoned and rejected. That means that whatever suffering humans experience, up to and including the suffering of the absence of God, God has experienced too on the cross. And that crucifixion was then followed by the resurrection, which is God's profound no to violence and execution. The cross cannot be understood without the Trinity. Without the Trinity, the crucifixion looks like the description in Sayer's parody. It's God's vindictive cruelty satisfied by the execution of his innocent only son. But since we know that God is Trinity, the crucifixion looks completely different, and so does our relationship with God. Whenever we cry out to God, we're echoing the cry of the dying Christ, the Son of God. God isn't just the one we cry to, God is the one who is crying with us. Every time Christians worship, we accept what Dorothy L. Sayers called the terrifying assertion that the same God who made the world lived in the world and passed through the grave and the gate of death. It's the doctrine of the Trinity that makes us who we are. And that's why we can't do without it, even though as soon as we start talking about the nature of God, we become heretics. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Loving God, we know that nothing can separate us from you. Continue to surround us with your love during this time of crisis. Be with every member of the Western Heights community. Continue to give us the courage, the patience, and the kindness we need as isolation stretches on. Reassure us that we are still gathered together through you, even when we cannot meet. We pray for all those who have kept working in the community through this crisis. All the medical staff, the emergency services workers, the supermarket employees and freight workers, those who found new ways of working from home, those who are now slowly and carefully returning to work. We pray for those who have lost their jobs, who are facing an uncertain future. We pray for the homeless and those in insecure housing, and for those whose homes have not been safe places during this time of lockdown. We pray for our leaders, for Scott Morrison and Daniel Andrews, for Chief Medical Officers Brendan Murphy and Brett Sutton. As we begin the steps that will take us out of lockdown, give them your wisdom and help them to make the best decisions, not the ones that are politically expedient. Loving God, we know that we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. Help us to continue to be that one body in this difficult time. In the name of your Son, our Lord, Mother and Friend, Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Send fire, Lord, and light. My hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. Send fire, Lord, and light. My hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. The angels cannot change a world of hurt and pain into a world of love, of justice and of peace. The task of mine to do, to set me sent by the Lord of mine. My hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. Sent by the Lord of mine. My hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. The angels cannot change a world of hurt and pain into a world of love, of justice and of peace. The task of mine to do, to set.
The love of God enfold you, the wisdom of Christ enlighten you, the fire of the Spirit inflame you, and may the blessing of the Holy Triune God rest upon you and abide with you, now and evermore. Amen.